The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Get too cocky, my boy. No matter how good you are, don't ever let them see you coming. That's the gap, my friend.
We're sorry. The party you are trying to reach is not accepting calls from anonymous numbers.
This is me, Frank Patrol.
And try calling again without blocking your number. We're sorry. The party you are trying to reach is not accepting calls from anonymous numbers.
What do I say again?
And try calling again without blocking your number.
This is me, Frank Patrol.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ships. I may direct your call.
This is me, Frank Atoll. What's going on?
Pardon?
This is me, Frank Atoll.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ships. I may direct your call.
What's going on?
Hello?
How about a piece of wet leather?
Hello?
See, he's got his fingers into all those things. He knows. What are you saying now? Sorry.
Bravo teams. Let's clean up the rest of the mess.
Wait for it!
In this small Nebraska town, a secret government project has gotten out of control. And a deadly virus has been unleashed.
The virus is based on the human X chromosome, so it stays more pure from woman to woman.
Into the city's hottest nightclub.
This is Jessie.
Local girl, right?
Yeah. Born and bred, Sartre, Nebraska.
So tonight, when the sun goes down, things really start to heat up. Every man's fantasy is about to become...
What seems to be the problem, Doc?
Believe it or not, zombies.
Their worst nightmare. Robert Englund. Jenna Jameson.
Either got it or you don't, baby.
But what about the girls, huh? They're good girls.
They're zombies.
No. They're sprinters.
They're zombie strippers.
For my sake, suck it up.
Thank you.
What happened? Where's Carl? What happened to Carl? Where's Carl?
That's Mr. Tolo over there.
Where's
Carl?
You know what I mean? Where's Carl?
Where's Carl?
Where's Carl? 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 Carl's broke? Hang out the sheets. Remember, you enter this theater at your own risk. We are not responsible for any injuries incurred while you listen, and we give you fair warning that anything you hear may be held against you. Wake up, it's night, you sunburned sickleman of June weary. Come hither from the furrow and be merry. Time to make holiday with your rye straw hats and your high heel sneakers. Wake up, it's night! Philosophical entertainment, irrelevant, irreverent, netterati, couples surfing, surfers, and sound infomaniacs. Hello, welcome again to here. My name is Frank Catolo, and his name is George, the title of the show. Here we go. This is me chronicling in the stressful and amazing world. No, I'm okay. Luck, smart, guts, and hearts. Here we go. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello to every Portello. Why am I laughing? Because in this sweltering, and it's not sweltering heat. Sweltering heat would be dry heat that you know from the desert, and this is that dirty humid heat. Well, I guess is that repetitive? Dirty humid. This is that it's that humid, wet, sticky heat. That comes after a rain and before a rain. So actually, it's there all the time, before and after the rain, for briefly. But here's why I was laughing, because as I was thinking about talking about the heat, because I always find myself a little bit off the bit, let's say, from this humidity. All my life, ever since I was a kid, which is part of my life, actually that was the beginning of my life, It just bothered me. I hated it. But when I moved to California, people said, "What are you going to California for? You hate the heat. I don't hate the heat. I like heat and beautiful tropical weather. I don't like the sticky stuff, this stuff that you get I'm telling you that when you're out here in the middle where I am, in the middle, it's not maybe the middle, maybe it's more to the left and more to the right, but out here in the sticks where there's not a lot of There's no skyscrapers and buildings all around me. And it's the same sticky, horrible, disgusting feeling that it is when you're in the middle of the city. Even though there's like double the energy going on because the city is electrified with pipes and things that are going all over, electric and things running around. Okay, but here's why I was laughing. I wasn't laughing because of that. I was laughing because of this is what I thought about the moment I was going to talk about the humidity. Prickly heat made me laugh. Even the sound of it right now still makes me laugh. When I was a kid, and it was this hot, and usually in the humidity, I got prickly heat. Now, I don't know why it's called prickly heat. Maybe we should Google that and find out. You could probably at Wikipedia, and now it's probably all over the world because they probably released the secret of prickly heat. It's probably now everybody knows it. The Russians know it. The Chinese know it now because we had the secret. Prickly heat. It's a kind of a rash that you get from the heat. Not from the heat, but from your body rubbing with itself. No, I don't mean, you know, when you're rubbed together. Somehow you get prickly heat and I guess you put calamine lotion on it, or you put Palomar lotion, or you put Palmolive soap on it or something. It's not like sunburn, but you know, I guess, you know, I don't have to explain to you prickly heat other than the fact that it's funny. I had prickly heat. And I remember the first time my mother said, and I was very young then, she said, oh no, prickly heat. And just the sound of it, it's, so it must have like, maybe it has a Latin name, Priculius Heatolius or something, you know? Prickly heat. I don't know anything about it, and I certainly cannot pontificate anymore about it. My name is Frank Cotolo. I don't have prickly heat right now, but I'm really in a, as usual, in a very stressful situation. But being the hero and, that I am and the greatness that I project, I do perform and continue to go under adversity. That's the name of that game. I don't want to have to do that show again. Speaking of doing shows, I want to say this. Let me tell you this more. I'm going to do you this right now before we get into what we're going into, because I want everyone to know about this. And I didn't tell anyone yet about it. So let's do this right now. Heather Drain is here with us. We're going to talk about zombies and zombie strippers, zombie Nazis, zombie little babies, all things zombie. Because you could be, doesn't matter. You know what's great about zombieism? It does not hesitate to, what does it do? It doesn't. What good is having a co-host in the back if he can't come up with the word? It doesn't disintegrate. No, it doesn't. It doesn't discriminate. Thank you. Jeremy Long is with us again. And here. So he, and he finally came up with the word we needed to know. Zombieism does not discriminate. If you die at 4, you die at 5, you come back. It must be terrible if you die as an infant, you can't walk. Because you can't be the walking dead. You'd be the sleeping. How could you be the sleeping dead? Anyway, I want to do this because all of our affiliates need to know about this website. We're announcing it this week. Here is the announcement once again.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows. But
and I would never do this talk. There, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Now, here's what you got to do. You got to go there and get what the heck you want, not just Cotolo Chronicle. Shows being archived there, but also The Artist D. These are not our spin-offs. These are in the universe of alternative broadcasting. And of course, Velvet Steel. These are good friends of ours and they do great shows, alternative broadcasting. Now you know where to get them. All you people out there who want to do it. And I'm not from now on. I'm just going to, you don't go to Facebook anymore and look for that link. You're going to go over to Juice Talk. I'm going to send you all over to Juice Talk. Download there stations across the nation and all you fans and people who want to hear anything. You go there, get your random stuff. Just have a lot of fun with a lot of the great stuff. And you can stick it on your iPhone. You can stick it on your iPad or your iPods. You do anything you want. We are now breaking ground with this brand new Juice Talk Radio. I told you this was going to happen. An archived spot. And this is at the request of many, many people. Now, you don't have to send those emails anymore. Hey, where can we get old shows? Now, why that voice comes across when I read, where can we get old shows, is beyond me. But that's the things like, where can we get old shows? Now, these shows are never old, by the way. They're all timely, and they're there. And now you can not only get mine, but you can get Velvet Steel. And the Artist D and I. Remember what I told you about? What is the divine number, everyone? All together, 3. 3 is the divine number. And that is the divine combination of Velvet Steel, Frank Cotolo, And the artist day. You have no idea. There is like, you know what's great about? There's no discrimination of sex on that page. It's like we're just, you know, we're like it's a strange androgyny that goes on there. But it doesn't matter who was what and what was who. It doesn't matter. This is the new millennium, my friends. Things have already changed. So don't listen to Rush Limbaugh anymore. Because he don't know what he's talking about, and the gas bags just got nothing going for him. It's all over for all of them. Juice Talk is here. So is going to be someone who juices me, indeed, Heather Drain. Hey, Drain, Juice Drain. And, of course, because of the zombie situation and talking about zombie movies and everything else, our good friend Jeremy Long is back with us here today, because he's a big zombie fan, and he also is he's going to be this. If you're in Harrisburg this Saturday, you're going to want to go over and see Jeremy Long hosting. He's going to tell you about it, hosting the Haboobian, the Booby Festival or something. What is it?
I'd much rather it be the Booby Festival. The Hubbub Festival on 67 Night Drive in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, this Saturday. It begins, gates open at 3, runs till the wee hours of the night. Big music festival, lots of bands.
It's not. Yeah. It is?
What?
It runs to the wee hours of the night?
Like 10. Oh. lots of bands, food, and I'll be there emceeing and doing comedy. And Frank will be there.
I'll be signing autographs on the side. Wherever you see Jeremy, just look over to the left. And you'll look over to the left. You'll probably see a band of babes. Now, inside of the band of babes with me signing autographs. And, yes, I do sign body parts. So come on down to the hubbub. What is it? Where is it?
The Booby Festival.
It's a Hubbub Festival?
Yeah, Hubbub.
That was always a that was what that's from the take it from the Bugs Bunny thing.
Yeah, well, I didn't name it, but yeah.
Where did is this the first annual?
No, it's been going on for like 13 years apparently.
There've been 13 Hubbub Festival. How did we not know about this?
I didn't know. This is the first year they asked me to be a part of it.
That's why. See, suddenly we have interest in it because it has something to do with us. So now all of a sudden, now, you know, those Hubbub people had it all wrong. Maybe that's what happened. They said, you know what, we better get those guys involved because 13 years and we're on, you know, we're on shaky ground here. They might be, Hubbub could be cracking, the corruption of the Hubbub.
They brought us in to jump the shark because they ran out of ideas.
Oh, are we jumping the shark? No, we're not going to. Well, we might have to jump the shark. It might be good. Well, it might be good for us to jump the shark.
Hey.
As the case may be, we want to go tonight to talk to Heather Drain. We have a special zombie. Well, you know, this is going to go anywhere it goes. You have to start somewhere. You have to say, here's what we're going to do. As we always do here on Cotolo Chronicles. What else do I have to tell you? I got to tell you that, this is great. Coming up, because this is the end of June now. This is the last show in June now. Yes, it is. We're going to go to July. And what's going to happen is we're going to have one of these weeks early in July, maybe middle of July, maybe end of July. That would cover July. Tom Savino is going to be back, and we're going to do the Great Tonto Joke Show, which will correspond with the opening of The Lone Ranger, the new version of The Lone Ranger by Disney. You saw it? What, did you see it? Why are you giving it thumbs down already?
Just, I'm sick of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton films together.
That's not a Tim Burton film.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's him and Johnny and then frickin' Helena Bonham Carter, like they all.
It's not. It is? That's a Tim Burton movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so. I think in this case, Jeremy Long, you are wrong. Long rhymes with wrong in this case, baby. I don't think so. I don't think it is. I mean, you might be sick of Johnny Depp, but certainly not in... Well, anyway, know what you will never look. Whether you like Lone Rangers or not Lone Rangers, whether you like Together Rangers or Rangers by the Two, Dual Rangers, Triple Rangers, Group Rangers, Orgy Rangers, you are going to love the Tonto Joke Show. It might be politically incorrect, but it's hilarious. Tom Savino will be here. No, you got to start Tonto Jokes. And actually, Tonto Jokes are only the answer. Tonto only gives the punchline. But he always does that before the punchline. You're going to love this, and you're going to learn to do Tonto jokes. And it's going to be the rage of campuses when kids come back to school at college after this summer vacation. Everyone's going to be doing Tonto jokes, at which time there will be the Native American Society of human beings, or whatever they call themselves, will be, they'll be shooting arrows at the studio, because it doesn't make fun of them. It makes fun of a character, Tonto. Okay. And if they want, to balance it, I'll do a stupid Italian show. I've done a lot of stupid Italian shows because I am, of course, a stupid Italian. So, see, I have no reason to do anything politically incorrect. One person who is not stupid is Heather Drain. Aside from the fact that her fiery red hair just drives me out of my mind. I mean, I sit down and I look at her hair and I look at her in the eyes and I just fall over. And that's just a picture. That's just a picture. Have you seen Heather Drain lately? I want you all to go to Google Images and hit... What's going on with my throat now? What is going on with my throat here? I want you to go there and get Heather Drain. What do? You poke it in. You type it in. Type in Heather Drain.
One misspell. One single letter misspell. And you come up with Feather Drain, which would be a whole set of different pictures.
This is correct. Spelling is imperative when you want to get the correct. When you want to be guided to the correct website, the correct number, the correct information, the source, you're going to need that. What else do I have to tell you before we move on to Heather? We're going to we don't know what else we're going to do. July is coming up, and like I said, Tom Savino will be here with the Tonto jokes. I think, well, you know who's going to be back? Dr. Karen Wyatt's going to be back. We're going to be talking about a project because she sent me all of the information about this project that she had the last time she was on. And I know that's vague, but it's vague because I haven't looked into it yet. I'm going to read it, and she's going to be on, and we're going to try sell some units. Well, this is wonderful stuff that I think she will, that she's going to, and I wish I could tell you more about it, but I haven't read it yet because, as you know, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. So I'm prepared to talk about it anytime. So Dr. Wyatt will be here. I'm still trying to get what's going on with Veronica. I mail her. She emails me. I email her. She emails. Veronica Monet is supposed to come back and talk about sex without shame. I am the person to talk to when it comes to that phrase, sex without shame. That's me, Frank Tolo. You can't be here, Jeremy, even though you are of age, for that show because I hear that sex and you will get to shame.
What was that?
I was trying to make a joke about sex and shame. But no, Veronica will be by. And who else are we going to have on? Dr. Popel will be back. Although Dr. Popel, he's down at the shore for the summer. So maybe we could get a microphone over to him by the beach, and we'll have him on. Dr. Waldor has got to come back, too, because we got to talk about the universe, even though it's the summer.
We should have Brock LaRob back on.
We're going to get Brock LaRob back. And he's already asked me, can I come back on soon? And I said, you can come back on, just not soon. No, we'll get Brock LaRob back on and any number of people. And we'll get Heather on again. Here's an email now coming in. It's probably from somebody. It's an invitation. It's an invitation for... Huh? Yeah, well, isn't that common? I mean, no one invited you. You weren't invited. Since when?
I was invited tonight.
That's right. You weren't invited tonight. You said, I'm coming over. You know, I like people like that. They just, you know, they are. Come on with the words.
Seize
come on.
Day.
Huh?
Sempedium,
Deepa, carpe diem.
Huh? Carpe diem.
Carpe diem does your floors from the top down to the floor. In the basement, carpe, that's a good name for a carpet place. Carpe diem, but C-A-R-P-E-T. Yes, carpet by the, in one day, we'll carpet your entire house. Okay, we're going to get a lot of stuff going on. You know, the heat is getting to us. We're going to get a lot of stuff going on. We also want you to go to, juicedtalk.com. You can also go to Facebook. You get me on Facebook, Frank Atolo. Get Jeremy Long MD at Twitter. Jeremy Long MD at Twitter. What are you on? You're just Jeremy Long on Facebook. So you can go there and get them, and you could get, if you have Vines, what is the name of that site?
Vine, yeah, Vine.
It's just Vine?
It's, it's Vine, I guess it's Vine.com, and then the app on your phone is just called Vine.
But on your computer, you can get Vine.com, and you could go there, and Jeremy has a bunch of Vines. Vines are little video loops, and we hope you find them funny. I know you have six of them?
6 seconds. They're only 6 seconds long.
They have to be 6 seconds long. They can't be any longer than that, Vines. If you go to Vine.com on your phone or wherever you connect to the internet, and there's a couple there with moi, and there's some with Jeremy and with Ileana. Is that her name? Who does the great Joan Cusack imitation?
Ileana. Huh?
Why do I call it Ileana?
That's a good one. That's a good name.
Okay, Ileana's on there, and the guy who plays Jesus is, who is that guy?
Oh, Nathan.
Nathan, I'm on there, and you're on there, and
Charlie, Henry Winkler is on there.
Charlie, Henry Winkler is on there. Who else?
Mike O'Grady, or you call him Brad.
Brad or Mike O'Grady.
Kalina's in a few.
Kalina's in a few, too. We've got a bunch of things that you might enjoy watching there. Vine.com. What do you do on Vine.com? Do you just go to Jeremy Long?
It's Jeremy M. Long on that one, I believe.
Why don't you make it easy on people? I mean, it's like, why do they have to do so much work? They don't even know you like they know, like, you know, it's like Jonathan Withers. All right. Oh, yeah. But on that, it's Jonathan M. Winters and it's Jonathan W. And you go to Jonathan Winters Dentist. What?
Well, it's because, like, when you go to some of those sites, you go to type in the same one that you use for all the other ones, and it says it's taken, so then you have to come up with a new one. You know what I mean?
So you having a very common name, Jeremy Long, is already taken. Is that it?
That's why it's a bunch of different ones.
Okay, here's another email from someone. It says, can you do the show without Jeremy? It's an email just came in. No. Jeremy's... Wait. What? Jeremy's... Jeremy's...
I just got an email.
You got an email too? What did yours say?
Where's Heather? We need some females on this show.
Okay, here comes Heather. We believe Heather is waiting for us on Skype. I think she's there. Oh, you don't look. Doesn't look like she's there. What does that mean? The yellow. What does yellow mean? Away. I think she's there. She's waiting for exactly 9:30. Because Heather, you know why? Because this is a precise act, a precise person, an artist, a writer. A person with great fortitude and fortitude, and she knows exactly what she's doing. Let's call her anyway. Let's see if she's waiting. No, you don't think so, huh? Heather Drain is available. Mondo Heather. What? I love that picture. That's the picture of, is not a picture of Heather Drain on her icon at Skype. It's who? Is that, wait, don't tell me, Heather, is that Gloria?
You got it.
Gloria
Pons?
Gloria Pons? No, wait, hold it, that's Mary Pickford?
No, I love Mary Pickford. No, actually, it's Kate Bush.
Kate Bush?
Yeah, the great British singer. She's a goddess. She's been around for probably like 30 years. Yeah, but yeah, that's from her album, The Dreaming, which came out in 1982, I think. I highly recommend it. It has nothing to do with zombies, though.
No, I thought it was, I actually thought it was a picture from an old silent movie, as opposed to a new silent movie.
Well, I think it has that quality, which is probably why I love that image, because, of course, you know, I growing up, I just was instantly smitten with silent films, and I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be like Clara Bow. Yeah, I still adore that style. I think people were just so interesting looking. Yeah, they were so great looking in those films.
Speaking of adoring, I got to tell you that the last time you were on, which wasn't the last time you were on, because you're on again. I mean, the most recent time you were on before tonight. I got a lot of comments about how pleasant a voice have you.
Oh, well, I pay a lot of people very well. So.
No, I don't think so. I think this is true. And I told people, I said, you'll enjoy Heather because, you know, a lot of guests you get are, you know, they're knowledgeable, they know this and the other thing, but they just don't have wonderful voices that you like to listen to, you know. But you're not one of you, and I tell them all, you know, you'll enjoy listening to Heather. You belong on radio.
Oh, Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, and I mean, you have a fabulous voice, too, so coming from you, that is an immense compliment.
Well, yeah, the thing is that, and I've seen you do acting.
Oh, God.
I have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got you. Yeah, okay. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we're going to talk about zombies. Now, I have with me one of my co-hosts who now and then comes onto the show because he just breaks into my house. He doesn't. He's never invited. He's a local stand-up comedian. He hopes one day to what? I and so you talk while I'm talking. So like he's worse than my son. So, but he is he's a great big zombie fan. In fact, he wrote a zombie script.
Oh, wow.
which I quickly helped him to rewrite. I didn't help you, but I gave him some ideas and notes and stuff. But anyway, he'll going to join in this discussion of zombie movies and the history of zombie movies, because I want to talk about the ones that I grew up with, but I want to know, we're going to go with your list, correct? That's how we're going to go. That's going to be the foundation?
Sure. My list, such as it is, it's a bit loose, because I think in lieu of doing just like a typical top 10 list, when I started kind of researching for the show, because I've always loved zombie films ever since I was little, but I haven't actually studied up on them in a few years. Like, all of my film writing's been kind of in other aspects of a fringe, you know, and cult cinema. Mm. So this was kind of a nice return to something I grew up with. But I noticed that there's lots of... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I'll tell you what's nice. The fact that you said, while she was actually doing work to be on the show, that's flattering.
Oh, of course.
She prepares. I told you.
Unlike you, she prepares.
Yes. I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. But I mean, she actually did work. Now, go on. Tell us what you were saying.
Well, one thing, because I think a lot of people, when they think zombie films, they think probably, and rightfully so, of the classic Romero brain-eating zombie rising from the grave. But there's a lot of different kind of subcategories of zombie films. In fact, it's funny because you and I kind of in the last interview brought up the whole original zombie films, which of course was like films like White Zombie,
yeah,
with the Haitian.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. The origin comes from the voodoo, and they were always African Americans.
Yeah, by and large, I mean the voodoo thing. I mean, you really didn't see. Like, I mean, Romero was kind of the first to do kind of what's become the classic zombie for modern horror. Though you have, I kind of found like other little subcategories. I mean, if you're talking like mind control zombies, which aren't your classic brain eating zombies, but instead kind of almost like revenants, but they're living, but they're dead kind of thing. I mean, you could trace that back to Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point.
Which is a film I would honestly never call a zombie film, but researching, I kind of could see, you know, maybe, you know, where someone I was talking about. And of course, we have the classic Ed Wood film, Plan 9 from Outer Space, where you have people rising from the grave.
That's right. They are zombies.
Controlled by, I believe, aliens. It's been a little while since I've seen it, but.
But the reason they made the White Zombie, then you'll get the movie, White Zombie, with the Bela Lugosi movie?
Oh, yeah, which is a classic. They should see it. Anybody who hasn't seen it, go out and see it.
Is that on the list?
Of course.
Okay, but here's what all I want to say is that when they made that, they called it White Zombie, yeah, because at that time they had to designate that there was going to be a Caucasian who did what all the black people with the white eyes always did in the other movies, right? Isn't that why that was called White Zombie?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Frank. I've never actually found out why they called it White Zombie. It's a great title, and it's got, you know, Bela Lugosi. So I'm like, Bela Lugosi, zombies, him with a little mustache.
Yeah.
What more do you want? I
mean, she's so easily pleased. That's why,
yes,
I like her.
Absolutely.
Well, why don't we get into all the other nuances by just going through this list? And it's okay that it's loose. It doesn't matter. And they don't even have to be in order. They're just 10. Whatever it is, you and many of them, many you have that are the best, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, we can, you know, the great thing about having a loose list, I find, too, is that I think you and I, we're sort of what I call circular talkers. It's like me and you can return to something we just talked about 10 minutes ago.
That's right. That's right.
Like it was a minute ago.
That's because we're great writers, and great writers can stop writing something and then go back to it a year later and pick up right where they left off.
Damn straight.
Okay. So yeah, so the circular is hoo-ah, right?
Hoo-ah.
Wait a second. Listen to this. If you haven't heard this, Jeremy, do a little Christopher. Before we get on, do Christopher Walken first, okay?
Well, you know, I too love zombie films. They're some of my favorite. White Zombie's a classic. It's on the top of the charts.
What do you think?
Not bad. I'm a huge Christopher Walken fan.
See? Oh, that's a huge fan. Said not bad. That's good. Okay, let's get on with the show. Heather, take it away. You lead us, and we'll ask questions and do things and say things in between.
Okay. Now, do you want me to go ahead and list all the categories? Do you want to kind of go by category, then discuss the films in the category?
Oh, boy. You're the expert here. You tell me what's the best way to go. I'll go any way you want to go, baby.
Well, since we were kind of talking about White Zombie, some of the key films, you know, and there's certainly not a complete list by any means of the voodoo-related zombies. White Zombie's the big daddy in a way because it was the first, and you know, it's a good film. It's a little creaky probably for some modern audiences because it's a very early talkie, but I think it's got some great stuff in it. There was a loose sequel of sorts called Revolt of the Zombies.
Ooh, yeah.
35-36. It was directed by the same guy, Victor Halpernan. I'm probably saying his name wrong. And no Bella, except they reused the shot of... There's that fabulous close-up in White Zombie of Bella's eyes just gleaming with menace. Mm-hmm. It's so phenomenal. Then, of course, you have I Walked with a Zombie, which I believe that was one me and you talked about, too.
Yes, yes. We were looking at trailers earlier, and that was... yes, I Walked with a Zombie was... As opposed to what? I ran with a zombie? I slept with a zombie.
I sped walk with a zombie.
I slept with a zombie. Well, you know, we were talking about, too, speaking of that, how when you mix porn with horror and you get zombie strippers. We talked about that a long time ago, that movie.
Yeah, which Zombie Strippers isn't really, I don't want to get anybody excited, it's not really porn.
No, but you know, it's got...
it's boobies, it's TNA of the jam.
It's TNA, right, it's not definitely not porn. Are there any porn, before we move on, are there any, no, there's no serious, go on, go back, okay, are I Walked with a Zombie and Revolt of the Zombies on the list, or have we done gone three, or...
White Zombie's definitely on the list. I haven't seen, I'll be honest, Revolt. I've read about it. I thought it was worth mentioning because it is a loose sequel. It's kind of not really as highly regarded as White Zombie.
And they're not white zombies in Revolt. They're black zombies, aren't they?
Voodoo there are black zombies in there, yes.
Yeah, because of the voodoo stuff that people don't understand when we're talking about, because it's not African Americans really. It's they're Jamaicans and they're. We're probably played by African Americans because at that time there was an entire portions of the studios they were making pictures with an all black cast for all black market down south.
Right, mm-hmm. And which I think is a pretty interesting piece of a film history. It's one I need to study up on, certainly more.
Well, but, we'll go back to that. But you know, but it's like in those days, in the 30s, if the black to get into a regular Caucasian movie, even a low grade movie, you would have to either be what, a zombie, or you'd play a butler, or you'd play like Step and Fetch It, that guy.
Right. Yeah. It was, you know, which is kind of.
Or a native, like the cast of King Kong, right? They play natives. That's right. Yeah. The native. We forgot about that in all the African movies.
Yeah. But I think it's important to make note of this stuff because I think the problem I'll try not to get too off topic. The problem I've always had with political correctness is there are people, like, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but like, say, Disney's Fantasia. That is censored. There's never been a full cut of it released, certainly on VHS, DVD, whatever, because one of the centaurs in the centaur sequence is done up like a pickaninny, basically. And it's horribly, hideously racist. I mean, but if you whitewash history, then it's like, you know, what are you telling, you know, younger generations that this never happened? You know, I mean, there's a huge danger in censorship, so it's good to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about stuff and don't forget, you know.
And I'm just wondering if that's where the term whitewash originated.
Hmm. Right.
Hmm.
But back to the zombies.
Back to zombies.
the thing about I Walked with a Zombie, it is a very good film. It's Jacques Tourneur, who also did, I believe, Cat People and Curse of the Demon, I believe.
Oh, wow. Was
a phenomenal
film. That was a weird, very strange, weird. Is that Dana Andrews? Who was in that?
God. I know. I'm trying to.
It's a regular. Was either Raymond Massey or Dana Andrews. You look it up. I got it. No, not you. Not you. You're the no. We got the intern looking it up.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because we were talking about Kate Bush earlier. Her song "Hounds of Love" off the album "Hounds of Love" actually has a little line of dialogue at the beginning that's from "Curse of the Demon." So, see, you can make almost anything circular.
Okay. Anyway, he's looking up which star is in. But what about, so the director, yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
Oh, fantastic, yeah. And definitely, I would put that on a list. Certainly, I Walked with a Zombie. What's interesting is by the time you have the 60s, and certainly the 70s, and by the time the 70s, especially once Night of the Living Dead was around, you really didn't get too many of the Voodoo Haitian films. There are two exceptions. One would be Sugar Hill, which is kind of a lesser-known blaxploitation film from the mid-70s.
Which?
Oh, Sugar Hill.
And what's that?
It's basically a story about this this lovely young lady who's her lover gets killed by the mob, and so she visits an old voodoo woman and basically exacts her revenge using the art of zombification and voodoo. It's got the great Robert Corey in it, who hopefully everybody knows who Robert Corey is. He was in the Count Yorga films, among other things.
And what a weird title.
I know, Sugar Hill. Well, that was her name, Sugar Hill.
It's a name.
But I know, you wouldn't think zombies being that title.
No, not at all. Sugar Hill. And did we find that? You didn't find it, did you? No, not Peggy Cummings. I'm looking for a male.
Oh. What? I'm looking for. Frank's going to start beating him. It's going
to
get ugly.
No, it's okay. Curse of the Demon?
Curse of the Demon, the female lead is Peggy Cummings.
Peggy Cummings was the female lead?
Yeah.
I wonder how many Curse of the Demons movies were made.
It's the only one. What's the one she was talking about?
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong one. Okay, go on.
There was a Night of the Demon that was like a killer kind of Bigfoot film.
No,
it
wasn't
1980,
but
that has something.
I was thinking of another one altogether.
Dana Andrews.
What?
Oh, see,
is he in it?
You had it right.
Yeah, I was right then. Okay. So Lee, give me the credit. See, I remembered that.
1909 to 1992.
Yeah. He died in 1992.
That's when I was born.
You were born when Dana Andrews died.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a shame. When I died, do you what I just said? That was a Freudian
slip. Oh, my God,
slip.
Frank, you're a zombie.
I'm a zombie. And believe me, plenty of people would agree with you. What was his name? I forgot. Wait, go on now. Is it cool where you live down south?
Yes.
Is it hot there?
Cool. Yes. It's still in the 90s right now.
Oh,
actually.
My God. It's just humid, sticky. I'm getting prickly heat. Do you remember prickly heat? Hello?
Was that a band?
Was that a band? I love it. It should be. It should have been. Ladies and gentlemen, Prickly Heat. Let's hear it from. Okay, go on. We got those three. But here's why I stopped you. There was a period, after the 40s, after, the Bowery Boys met the zombies. There were zombies in there, and there were some of these, monogram movies, these dumb comedies that had zombies and stuff. And then there was a period when there were no zombies, correct?
Very little, yeah. I mean, the real resurgence, I mean, not to keep, if you're talking about zombies, Romero's a name that you're going to be saying a whole lot. I mean, George Romero, in my opinion, really, he was the game changer.
Yes, and that was but that's 67?
Yeah, so 67, 68, late 60s.
Yeah, but before that, we've got to go back how many years to find a really good zombie film before Romero brings this thing into another level of genre?
I would say, now, I mean, granted, there are some obscure kind of B zombie films in the 50s that I have not seen. So in fairness to those titles, I would say I Walked with the Zombie was probably the best up until Night of the Living Dead.
Well, then, okay, so the ones in between there are not obviously not going to make your list, but were there? Can you even mention a few? Were there other that you remember? You know,
there was,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Just go ahead. Walk over me. Everyone else does.
It was a monogram. If it wasn't monogram, it was a very monogram-type film called Zombies on Broadway.
Yes! Yes, now it, and those two dumb guys, the two little guys, there was a comedy team in there, wasn't there?
Oh, God, was it?
Look it up.
Because I think one of the guys in there, I hate it because I get some of these guys confused. Because, like, there were a lot of, like, kind of, like, knockoff comedians where it's like, hey,
yes,
if you like Dean and Lewis, you'll love, you know.
Oh,
like, I know Sammy Petrello was, like, a big Jerry Lewis.
Do you know that, I don't know what happened, but I was in communication with him, and he was going to be, and he may still be on the show, the guy who played the guy who was like, wait, it was Dick Mitchell, and no, was it Dick Mitchell, Mitchell and Petrello? They imitated, they were duplicates of, they were clones of Martin and Lewis.
Right.
And, that was, and Bela Lugosi was in that too. Oh, yeah, the Brooklyn Gorilla movie.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. Poor Bela. he deserved way better. But
yeah.
Actually, I am remiss. There is a title that I almost didn't mention that did technically come out before Night of the Living Dead. Now, it's not a classic zombie film in the sense of either Haitian voodoo or brain eating, but I think it's stellar. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I, of course, am talking about Ray Dennis Deckler's The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies.
Whoa, give us the title again slowly.
The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies.
Mixed? What year is that?
I want to say 64.
Hmm.
Early mid-60s, for sure. Steckler is one of my absolute favorite directors. There was no other like Ray Dennis Steckler. I'm a huge fan. And that one is interesting because it's a musical.
Okay.
For real. It's I mean, there's like elaborate Broadway, like costume, Vegas style dance numbers. And
wow.
You've got like the great Cash Flag, who suspiciously looks a lot like Ray Dennis.
Mm.
they are probably one of the same, but I like to have a little mystery for the proceedings. But, you know, he's kind of a great like anti-hero, and there's an evil gypsy woman, and the zombies there are more of the mind control kind of variety, like say Calgary, or Plan 9, but it's definitely, I recommend it. I mean, how many films have, killers on the loose, gypsies, and, you know, musical numbers?
Yes, we have it pulled up here on IMDb. Is it IMDb or IMDb?
IMDb.
I what? You are what? IMDb. The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became
Mixed Up.
I was
zombies.
Reading that. He takes it right out of my hand. I was reading that.
You know what my favorite part about the title is?
What? Go ahead.
I like that it officially has two exclamation points and a question mark at the end of the title. So it's actually The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies?
That's right, it does. Yes, it is. Zombies! You have to say it really low. Jerry falls in love with a stripper he meets at a carnival. Little does he know that she is the sister of a gypsy fortune teller whose predictions he had scoffed at earlier. Okay, so there it is.
You know, that's like saying The Godfather's a gangster film.
How did they get that on a marquee? How did they?
Can you imagine what the sequel would be called? The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies Part 2. The zombies are back and they're eating brains and they're eating.
Hey, let me ask you a question. As a a thematic question. Who came up with the idea that zombies needed to eat brains?
Well, that's interesting because, like, doing the research for this, I was kind of surprised to see, you know, technically there's not been the whole brain eating thing didn't really come up till much later. I mean, you have a flesh eating and Night of the Living Dead, And of course, you know, Dawn, the big brain film, like, and God, I could be horribly wrong, so either one of you gentlemen, please correct me. But I think specifically Brains, the first one that stands out in my mind is Return of the Living Dead, where it was specifically like the zombies were going brains, which is an awesome film, by the way. I love that film.
So they just added this thing. It's like the zombies want brains, and it's almost like, could you say, if you were reviewing it, that perhaps that's a metaphor for dead people trying to get their brains back, get their smarts back, because they're...
Well, there's a great scene in Return of the Living Dead where they manage to kind of capture one of the zombies and interrogate her, and it's awesome. The special effects in that film are really good, but to quote the female zombie, they eat brains to kind of help ease the pain of being dead, because the whole theory is like you're already dead and you can actually physically feel your body rot and decompose. And so brains, for some reason, it's almost like a drug-like effect that kind of helps numb it.
What's amazing about Romero is he didn't just start this up with a whole new flavor to it, but he developed these nuances. I mean, it's not just, now they're not just zombies. Now in the next movie, we add the fact that zombies eat brains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they did with Dracula. Remember the Hammer movies?
Oh, of course.
Okay, well, the thing I loved about the Hammer movies was there was always another way to kill Dracula. Before the Hammer, I didn't know that he didn't like water, that you could do, right? They just made that up.
Oh, some of it got pretty ridiculous. Like, there's one where he gets trapped under ice.
He could kill him that way, too? Because they kept having to find... Well, they added to the legend, they just, you know, these things... Because I remember the one about the water. It's like suddenly he's like, "Oh, I don't want to go in there's a pool," you know. But you never, Christopher Lee never talked. But so he did that with the zombies too. So it was like now they eat brains as part of the plot and everything, and then we're going to tell you why they eat brains. So he just made that up.
Well, the genius I think about George Romero and how he used, you know, and how he's used the creature of zombies is that it's not just, especially with the first three. It's never just like, hey, here's a scary undead creature that's going to nom-nom you. You know, it's like there's a lot of social and political commentary. Like, those films are smart. You know, they're very smart films. And, you know, that's why anytime, you know, I hear people slagging horror films is just, you know, as trash or whatever. It's like, no, there's some of the best, most intelligent films that have come out, and, you know, in the history of cinema. Some of them have been horror films, and I would definitely put George Romero's on the list.
Absolutely, and I would make a case for this, because when I saw Night of the Living Dead, the original black and white, not the remake, right? Mm-hmm. When I saw that, and I'd never seen it before, I know what you're talking about. Aside from the obvious... the zombie, you know, kill the zombies, Walking Dead, this is the great masses of people, or whatever you want to look at it as a metaphor. But I thought, having known, as I do, about the zombies being the, you know, the template was the black man and woman from the tribes and the voodoo and stuff, okay? I mm-hmm. thought it was fascinating, and it was quite a statement in itself when... This is one of those things. I'm going to give away something, so hold your ears if you never saw the original. This is a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! If you never saw the original, I can't imagine there's a person on the face of the earth. I should say, I can't imagine there's a living person on the face of the earth who hasn't seen this. But when they shoot the hero of that movie at the end of Night of the Living Dead and think, because they think he's a zombie, and the hero of the movie... is an African-American guy. And to me, it's like, wow, they just killed all the black zombies. You know, that whole genre, dead in one shot. You know what I mean?
Well, and with one shot, I mean, it's like, to me, like, the most disturbing thing about Night of the Living Dead is that, you know, it's kind of ambiguous when the hero dies, because you wonder, like, the rednecks that shot him, I mean, did they really think he was a zombie?
That too, yes. There's another side to that. That's how many layers. That's why that's a really good piece. A piece that has all those layers to it. So, yeah, we're both correct, and we'd both, you know, if we were doing this for a literary criticism, we would both be correct in bringing those things up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Romero, is just, you know, he's amazing. I love George Romero, and just
did it get out of hand? I mean, what on your list? How many? Because how many are there? Once, because they remake it, someone remakes that one in color, the original Night of the Living Dead. But then they were making what? Day of the Dead, Gone of the Dead, Here Come the Dead, the Dead.
Here come the dead.
And all
that's my favorite.
I mean, they were doing it. They were doing all those. Weren't some of them a little bit? They're not on the list, are they?
I kind of stuck to a certain period of film because there's been like such a huge influx that's come out in the last, I'd say, like 10 to 15 years. That could be a whole other, you know, like hour and a half to 2 hours right there. So I've stuck to kind of like mainly the 80s, everything from the beginning up till about, like I say, the 80s, maybe early 90s. But the first three Romero films, Night, Dawn, and Day, are just brilliant. They're all each individual masterpieces. I'm kind of in a minority because Day of the Dead is actually, you know, it's hard to pick a favorite for me, but Day of the Dead is the one I always go back to. And that one either tends to be, I think people either really love that one or it's like the lesser one to them, you know, because Night and Dawn are so iconic. But Day for me is, it hits the sweet spot.
What about, now we're doing this, let me tell everyone here for a second. Now, since we're coming up on the second hour, Heather Drain is with me again here at Cotolo Chronicles, and we're chronicling history and movie cinematography, cinema, pop culture, various zombie movies, the genre, and Heather, of course, is an accomplished author. And reviewer, and what would you hear, like movie archaeologist?
I like to describe myself as a fringe culture writer, because I do write about music too.
Yes.
But I like examining just all the little great works of art that get kind of overlooked because they're more on the side of of what's considered respectable.
And what's great about Heather's stuff, and you can and reading it and stuff, is that she has her finger on the pulse of fringe, and you know it's very difficult. In this day and age, there's no clear underground. There's no clear fringe like there was in the old days when there were all these other, because of the internet, everything is just kind of like on the surface. So Heather guides you and leads you to all sorts of those pockets of pop culture. And most of this through what? Give them your website again. Mondo.
Yes, that would be, my main site is Mondo Heather. blogspot.com, and you can also find me. I also write for Dangerous Minds, which is dangerousminds.net.
Yeah, I love that. Dangerous Minds. So that's where we are here right now. Okay, Heather, where were you now? We're circular talking, but that's okay. So we really have White Zombie. We got Dawn. We got Night of the Living Dead. I Walked with the Zombies in there. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not putting in Revolt of the Zombies. And we have Dawn, Day, and Night. That's three.
You know what's interesting?
What?
I was reading up on this, The Incredible Strange Creatures Who Stopped Loving and Became Mixed Zombies.
Uh-huh.
And it's so good that it was featured in Mystery Science Theater 3000 as one of the movies. You know that? You know Mystery Science Theater?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we remember that, sure.
It was one of the ones that they were watching and making fun of.
I've seen that episode actually, and I'm always torn on it because there are some really funny. I mean, as a whole, I do love Mystery Science Theater. A lot of people in the fringe community or B movie community or whatever. I mean, there's a love hate thing for that show because a lot of people just find it kind of insulting, and you know they love. And I'll stand up for Incredibly Strange Creatures. I mean, I love Mystery Science Theater, but that movie's a good. I would say it's a legit good movie. Is it out there? Absolutely, but you know. It's the easiest thing in the world to do is make a boring drama, you know, like have a weak beat couple, have somebody dying, whatever. That's the easiest thing in the world to do something quote unquote respectable. You know, I love the artists that have enough, you know, testicular fortitude, you know, to put something out there that's truly unique. And Steckler did a great stuff. You know, he did great work, and it's a good film. So
who? Yeah, I agree with Heather, because you said. That when you read that, the guy said, the writing said, it was so good that it appeared on Mystery.
No, I said that. That's not what it said. Oh. I said that.
Okay, because, you know, obviously, he didn't pick good movies. They didn't pick good movies. They picked what they thought were bad movies, because it would not annoy you that they would talk over it while you watched it. You would get into the comedy. I mean, when you do the Colossal Man movies, those are movies you want to talk over. Okay, right? The Amazing Colossal.
But you miss great dialogue, like, you know.
It's true.
I'm trying to think. There's a great line from War, of the Colossal Man, which of course I'm blanking on because
yeah.
Welcome to live radio.
I do too, but you know they're not all, a lot of people are. If I use the word neophyte, that doesn't mean a lot of people are not as equipped and adept at this particular film stuff as you and I. So they just see it funny. In fact, let me tell you something. When you show one of these old movies to younger kids, they you know, they're first of all they're annoyed in black and white. They just go, oh, it's so corny. It's really changed. It hasn't really changed much, anyway. But they don't see the brilliance even in cheesy effects.
I think that depends on the kid, though, don't you? I mean, because when I was growing up, I mean, I'm a child of the '80s, and I mean, people already had that attitude towards probably about almost everything we've talked about so far. And but I just instantly had a reverence for this stuff. I mean, I was
I don't think you're ordinary that way, though. But you're not ordinary.
Probably
not.
I'm young, and I like those.
Yeah, see, Jeremy's got good taste, and we have good taste. I think our listeners are all intelligent people with good taste. So
I'm the only stupid one, actually. It comes down to that. The host.
It's a little
off topic from the. From the zombies, but since you were talking about the old movies where now they seem cheesy, one of my favorites is that old one, The Screaming Skull. Do you remember that one?
Oh, God, yes.
She knows them all.
Oh, my God, is that... Well, I mean, it's good, but it's also...
I don't
it's
know.
It's something else, that film.
If they could... One day we'll talk. I'll do a show about... and maybe... No, you can't do that. I could do a show about Movies from Mars, which was an entirely different... thing. Well, you know when you're putting different voice tracks to movies the way Woody Allen did in
What's New Pussycat?
Yeah, What's New Pussycat? No, not What's New Tiger Lily.
What's New Pussycat? Yeah. I love Tom Jones. I always have him on my brain.
But what did we do? You just threw us completely off to completely off topic. You were saying the Screaming Skull, and when he said the Screaming Skull, that's why I thought of Movies from Mars, because I thought about They Saved Hitler's Brain, probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Have you seen They Saved Hitler's Brain?
Not in years, but
okay, you know of it, though, of course. Yeah. See, she knows. Okay, let's get back to zombies now here in the second hour. Heather Drain is give us some more zombie movies, and you said you're only going through the 90s?
Cause I mean, it's unreal. You know, I think 15 years ago, if somebody had posited the question that, hey, you know, zombies are going to become huge and they're going to be everywhere in culture, you know, you'd probably be like, no way. But I mean, it's insane. The past 10 to 15 years,
yes.
I mean, you know, with Walking Dead, you know, you have World War Z out now and just, you know, just so much. I mean, we could go on and on. So I kind of thought like there's so much influx that, you know, you'd almost do a whole other show, I think, about what's been done just in the, you know, in recent years.
Here's a question, Heather. Since you're a zombie fan, such as myself and like Frank, do you prefer the show The Walking Dead or the comics?
I'll be honest with you. I have not seen the show. My husband has. I actually, when the show came out, I was actually, I'll be honest, a little burnt out on zombie stuff at the time because there was such an influx. And at the time, I was kind of working on writing about people like Alejandro Jodorowsky and Arabal. So my headspace just wasn't in it. And I have seen the comic. The comic's great. I have friends who are huge comic book, you know, graphic novel people and just the... You know, all of them have seen the show, and they both, I think there's a lot of love for both. I haven't heard any really real quibblings about the show from the comic book faction.
How much does that comic book cost? If you, The Walking Dead comic, it out there?
First, what does it cost?
I know at our local comic book shop, the first graphic novel, which is like the collection of the first five or so issues, is like $10.
See what I'm saying about that?
That's not bad.
Hear what he said. At a local comic book store, there's a graphic novel. It's so different. I mean, from just having comics. There aren't no more other comic books. Yeah, there are comic books. You just can't. They used to be sold everywhere, but now. And I didn't know there was a Walking Dead comic.
It was a comic first before the show came on. Yeah.
Oh, so it's another it's another one of those graphic novels that was turned into something like Road to Perdition was a graphic novel. Yeah. Right?
The Watchmen.
The Watchmen, History of Violence. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the Alan Moore stuff, which Alan Moore's a genius. But yeah, with the, are we going back to the list?
No. Yes, we're going, you are. Yes, you are going back to the list. Here we go. Go back.
Well, the next sort of subcategory that I've discovered, and it's a small one, but I think there is some worthy titles to note, is what I call the science, which is basically zombies created purposely by the art of science. Now, this is a little different from, say, the what I call bio-horror, which is like more of a virus-type thing, like the Romero stuff. Also, going back a little more recently, 28 Days Later. The science one, there are three titles that stand out. One is The Astro Zombies, which is a Ted B. Meichels film.
Okay. I don't know.
Are you still there?
No, we're listening. We're being polite, and we're listening and absorbing this information. I don't know that movie, but go ahead, give all three, and we'll talk about it.
Oh, The Astro Zombies is great. It's very fun, campy. It's got John Carradine, and of course the beautiful and luscious Tura Santana, who was in Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
You know,
and you know, everyone should love Tura Santana.
Mm-hmm.
But
look her up. Well, how do you spell her name?
T-U-R-A.
T-U-R-A.
And then her last name is S-A-T-A-N-A.
Oh, Santana. Look it up. And everybody, if you're writing stuff down there at home or wherever you're listening.
You will be tested.
Yeah. It'll be a quiz later. You could look these things up and maybe try to get some of these movies on your Netflix or your Blockbuster Flicks or wherever it is you get. Or those of you who just know how to download these things for no money whatsoever. And the other, but we want, here now we got a hey now with her. We're going to look at this girl. And we're looking at a picture of, what are we doing? It's not a hey now? What's it? Santana?
Tura Santana, who sadly. I know, but she's always alive thanks to her work in film.
What is this Irma LaDuce? She was in 1960. She was in Irma LaDuce?
Yeah, she had a very small part as a prostitute.
She doesn't look like she has any small parts.
Oh, no, she was. She was in a Russ Meyer film. I think that's all you need to say on that. She's very buxotic.
You're getting a text message while this thing is on here. Okay, so there. Okay, well, I'm sorry she's dead, and I'm sorry she's not a zombie. We could get to see her again.
No.
Go ahead. But,
the other two science ones, the big one for me would be Reanimator, which is based on originally a Lovecraft story, and Reanimator is one of the biggest horror films that came out in the 1980s, I would say. It's phenomenal. It stars Jeffrey Combs and as Herbert West, and he basically develops a serum to reanimate the dead, which, of course, leads to some pretty bad effects.
Yeah, that's you don't want to be doing that.
No. But okay. And there was a sequel called Bride of Reanimator.
Bride of Reanimator, huh?
There was a third called Beyond, too, which is, I think, worth the viewing, but it's very different in tone. If you're looking for some good, really kind of out there, you know, special effects, if you like a lot of gore, if you like a lot of, you know, black humor, that Reanimator is definitely, you know, needs to be on your dance card.
This is an education for me because I've heard of that movie. I never heard of the first one, so I don't know these science zombie movies. But go ahead, what's the third one?
Oh, well, Beyond, I would say. Well, actually, I put that in Beyond and Bride of the Reanimator.
Oh, okay. So there were three Reanimators. It was a trilogy.
Yeah. Now, if we're doing, like, the ultimate zombie list, I would just keep Reanimator 1 on there. The other two are good, but Reanimator's kind of the granddaddy.
Okay. I like having these subcategory lists because it groups them in very particular order. I would expect nothing less from Heather Drain to be able categorize it and I'll librarytize it. There's no word as librarytize. No, okay. Go. what is okay? So we have the what the virus? We haven't even gone. We haven't gone through all the virus zombies, have we?
No. But there are two that I've noted on my list that I think are stunning.
Go.
Stunning works. The first is Rabid, the David Cronenberg film.
Oh, okay. Which,
yeah, and Rabbit's kind of a weird one because it's one of those. It's in kind of a gray area in some ways because the whole plot line is that you have the late and wonderful Marilyn Chambers as the young lady who has a motorcycle accident, and there's like a skin graft kind of operation done on her to save her, and it takes. But what develops, because of course this is David Cronenberg, master of body horror himself, is she develops an orifice in her armpit, and this little kind of phallic thing comes out of it and attacks people and drinks their blood. So one could argue it's vampire, but it basically turns the people into zombies. So,
wow, that's okay, that's a weird one. I don't remember, although there are pictures of Marilyn Chambers with penis-like objects under her arm, there are no...
Oh, hello.
Hello. Go ahead. Do another one. Rabid, what else?
The other big one for me on that, under that one, would be I Drink Your Blood, which is interesting because that was the whole thing is, again, it's kind of, I would say, in a weird gray area, like Rabid, because... basically, people get infected with rabies, but they start acting like zombies. So, you know, you could do that. But I Drink Your Blood, it's worth mentioning just because it's an awesome movie. It actually stars Bash Carr, who is actually a very well-respected figure in the modern dance community in New York in the 60s. Uh-huh. And he's phenomenal as this Charles Manson-type leader of these group of kind of wayward hippies. And fate intervenes, and yeah, they're dabbling to the occult, but then, you know.
So these zombies like blood.
They may drink some blood, they may eat some skin, which actually that film was on a double bill with I Eat Your Skin back in the 70s, which has Haitian
I drink in it. So then that would be a good double feature. I drink your blood if I eat, if I eat your skin?
If I eat your skin.
I drink your blood if I eat your skin.
Movie,
there's a double feature. I drink your blood if I eat your skin, and only if I eat your skin. Let me ask you a question thematically, and then we'll go on. And that is, what do you think, you, Heather Drain, expert of flesh-eating? That doesn't sound good, does it? Okay, what do you think is the fascination with a villain which is slow? I mean, well, a villain which really doesn't have any power. The only power it has is to make you one of it. It doesn't have any superpowers. It's slow. It can easily be whacked in the head and killed. What is the fascination or the fear with a villain that is so inept?
That's a good question. That is, because it's funny. I mean, that's a good point. I've actually heard people kind of riff on zombie films because of that. Of course, later on, zombies got fast. So,
but that's right. They did, yeah. Zombies got, this is another thing they did. Well, they're in all there are fast zombies, too.
Oh, I know. And I've heard some amazingly brain-peeling conversations, no pun intended, where people debating the mechanics and, you know, one could debate till the cows come home. Zombies aren't for real, so it doesn't really matter if they're fast or slow. It just matters if the movies are good.
Well, you know, the whole idea of, like, the first of all, that the term living dead makes no sense, right?
Yeah, but it's great, though. It's
you're either living or you're dead.
Yeah. It has a great, like, curve to it. But
is it just the fact that we don't want to be one of them? Is it, in a sense, is it like the Body Snatchers and Invasion of the Body Snatchers? The biggest fear is that they're going to make you one of them. It has nothing to do with the... Because, right, they're going to kill you, but you're not going to die. You become that... you know, and that there are so many of them. Not like if there was just one zombie, this never would have worked, correct?
Yeah, well, no, and I love that you bring that up because it's actually something you don't see, I think, asked too much of these films. But I think it's always important with horror, and to me, one of the things I've always loved about horror is it makes you examine, or it should make you examine, this freaks me out, this frightens me, why? And with zombies, I mean, it could be a lot of things. It could be, like, kind of what you were saying, like, maybe the fear of the loss of self. Because that's the thing, once you're, you know, infected, you're not you anymore. Basically, you're just like a revenant who is just mindlessly feeding on the living. So one could look at it like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think another one is just the fear of, you know, death is a fear everyone has, but, you know, but maybe if the dead are rising, then you know something is not in the natural order of things, that okay. Death is a natural part of the life cycle.
Very good. That's a very good, a very good thing. It really upsets the whole belief and understanding and concept of life belief system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And because and it can actually, it's actually a slam on, in a sense, it's a slam on, I don't want to say religion, but I mean, there's no religion that really says, I mean, there's no zombies in religion, except Jesus. Wait a second. Wait a second, Wendy, this is amazing how I just thought of this. Jesus was a zombie. Right? I mean, in essence, he didn't eat people and stuff like that. But he came back. In fact, remember what he said. In the Last Supper, with the bread and the wine.
Oh, is this like the communion? I'm kind of a heathen, Frank. So I'm not.
I remember this. I'm just bringing this up only for this as we discuss the themes of this. But Jesus said, with the bread at the Last Supper, he said, "This is my body. When you eat it, you're eating my body." And then the wine was his blood. The blood and the bread was the body of Christ, and the wine was the blood of Christ. And he would drink. You would drink that blood of Jesus only if you chewed the skin. What was it again?
Oh my God!
But what I'm saying is, in religion, there's no. I mean, there's the devil, and they talk about the devil in religions. They talk about, right, but they don't. There's no zombies. Okay. In religion.
The question is, which food on the table was the brain of Jesus? Because that's what they like the most, right?
That's right. They never went after the brain. No, but he is the only feature. He's the only creature in all of religion who comes back from the dead. Who is the living dead? He was living dead.
Well, Lazarus was resurrected.
That's right. He resurrected, but he had to
do remember
it.
That much.
Yes. He and Lazarus went on, but Lazarus didn't eat the rest of the Lazarus family.
We now have
a plot for an entirely new movie.
Jesus the zombie.
No, Jesus is raising the dead, and they're all, but I guess my point is, without making jokes about that, which is okay, but I mean, but the idea that zombies are just from they're out of nowhere. They don't come from a particular legend other than the voodoo thing. That's where they originated, and then they were changed and made into other creatures as they went on.
Right. Well, yeah, because actually, I like the fact that you did bring up the religion thing, because even with the belief system of voodoo, you know, which is a proper religion,
yes.
Zombification isn't like a literal, like, people are coming back from the dead. It's almost more of like, you know, you do this elaborate ritual and that person is an outcast from that community.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's more of an outcast thing really than a literal, you know, I mean, there's a big ritual with it and, you know, and they do use things like tetrodotoxin, which I believe is a poison gotten, but that is like taken from a puffer fish. But obviously, they just use a tiny amount. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Maybe that's why it's so scary too, because it's like if this is happening, then obviously everybody's belief systems are null and void.
Yeah, I mean, they want to come back and eat living things. They don't eat each other, do they?
No, where's the fun in that?
Well, we'll talk about that when we're not on the air.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Here's the point. The point is, let's go on. Did you want to say something?
It could be called Jesus, Raiser of the Dead, right? This movie? He's like a bad guy, and he raises all these zombies to go attack people. And at one point, I picture a scene right now, some guy goes, "Jesus." And he goes, "You rang."
So he's working on this right now. You know what I think you should do, Jeremy? I think you should call Mel Gibson. He may be interested. He may be interested in making another Jesus movie your way. Anyway, go ahead. go ahead. Let's go on. There's so many different angles to all this stuff, and I like talking. You know, Heather, you're one of the rare people I can actually talk about this kind of stuff, because, you know, we're both writers, and we both look beyond the various what's happening surface of movies and themes and, you know, metaphors and symbols and stuff. So I love to talk about this. So when we were going to talk about zombies, I knew all this stuff was going to come up, because I always think about this stuff, and I could talk to people about it. There are people I could talk to, but they don't know as much as you, so I don't get any feedback. Which is great, because when I brought up one thing, you brought up another thing. Give us now, are we done with the, what did we do with the Marilyn Chambers?
The bio kind of zombies. Yeah, we're done with that.
Yeah.
So the last, I would say, is what I call the black arts, which is basically raising the dead through the powers of the occult and or supernatural, which is all kind of one of the same, but depends on the movie. You know, some movies, like, for example, one of my personal favorites, a great B-horror movie from the 70s called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Whoa. You know,
and I think that is some great advice. You should not let your kids play with dead things, people. It's yeah. Very unclean.
Don't tell your kid
with dead things.
don't tell your kid to make chicken. Make the chicken tonight, son.
I wouldn't, yeah.
It's a dead thing, isn't it? Cooking dead things. What was the name of this movie, and when was it?
Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I want to say the year was 74. Don't quote me on that. It's early mid-70s, though. And it stars the fantabulous Alan Ormsby. And Mr. Ormsby has one hell of a resume, because in addition to being in this film and being a part of the creative process behind it, he also invented Hugo. I don't know if anybody remembers that great doll from the 70s, The Man of a Thousand Faces.
Yeah.
Alan Ormsby is what I'd call a badass. But and he's great in this film. He plays a guy named Alan who wears this amazing striped pants and brings a bunch of his theater buddies to a graveyard, and they put on kind of a mock occult ritual and even dig up a body. But then things go horribly awry when the ritual takes. So...
What a plot!
Okay. It's great. It's a lot of fun. I didn't actually get to see it till I was older, but I always remember being a little kid and seeing the video box art at one of the local video stores, and it always was one of those things. I always wanted to rent it, but you know, I was always a little scared because I was like five, you know.
Come on, Heather. Hello.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine. Too many. This is the night of the living.
Yeah. Go,
what else? What are the other ones in this category then?
Well, on the more supernatural end, and I think this is actually one of the most intriguing sort of twists on this, is the Knights, they're called the Blind Dead series, and it's made by Amando Di Osorio. These are from the 70s, and the whole basis, the zombies in these films, a.k.a. the Blind Dead, are actually the Knights Templar. They're the Templar Knights who have come back from the dead, and they are literally blind. They hunt by sound.
Okay, kind of like Predator.
Yeah, but, I mean, but way cooler.
Way cooler.
Way cooler than Predator.
Way cooler. But they were Predators.
Well, yeah.
You know, I brought that up a while back, but that I didn't, and you know this too. Monsters had names, and even if it was it or something, they weren't more names. They gave names. And then when I realized that Predator was a movie about a predator, his name wasn't Predator. He was a predator. Lots of things are predators, right? Correct?
Oh, well, yeah, predators. I mean, a man is probably the worst predator.
Okay. So, and then there was the movie Alien.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an alien. Well, a lot of monsters were aliens. They didn't give him a name or anything. He was alien. But Alien was a predator. And Predator was an alien, weren't they?
Because then there was a movie, Alien versus Predator. So
that's when. Well, that would also be Predator versus Alien, Alien versus. Because Predator was an alien because he was from another.
You're
right?
Saying that Predator was an alien, then how could Alien versus Predator? It would be just Predator versus Predator.
They could be. It could be Predator versus Predator. It could be Alien versus Alien because they're both aliens and both predators. Am I not correct, Heather?
Sure.
Okay. I know I'm being literal.
You've got your peanut butter and my chocolate. You got your chocolate and my peanut butter.
Okay. Yeah, I know we're going to go into that again. Okay. Go on with this one. We're still into the occult. I'm trying to think of one that would fit into this. That car. What?
Well, actually, no. It's funny he mentions Army of Darkness because the big one on my list for that, of course. In my opinion, there are three what I would call architects of the modern-day zombie film. Romero is obviously numero uno on that, which we've gone into. The other two would be Lucio Fulci, the great Italian maestro of horror films that we haven't gotten to yet, but Fulci made some of the best zombie films ever, in my opinion, and Sam Raimi with the Evil Dead trilogy.
Bingo. Boy, you just won. Jeremy just won bingo because you know all these guys?
Yeah. I know all of them, but I'm a huge Sam Raimi fan. So.
Oh, yeah. No, Raimi's amazing. And those three films are just, they never, I've seen them a number of times. They never get old. They're just phenomenal. And plus Bruce Campbell, you know. Oh my
Bruce
God.
Campbell, that's right. He's in the old Bruce Campbell. He was a. Go into the Italian guy zombie. I don't know this guy.
Oh, Lucio Fulci. Oh yeah. My God. Fulci was a master. He kind of took a lot of the groundwork that was, I think, you know, put down by and laid down by a guy like George Romero, but then processed it in a very unique way. I mean, Fulci's films, like titles like Zombie.
Just called Zombies.
Well, yeah. Well, the interesting story about Zombie, real quick, is Dawn of the Dead, when it was released in Italy, was retitled Zombie. So when Lucio Fulci made his Zombie in Italy, it was called Zombie 2, trying to kind of piggyback on the success of Zombie 1, a.k.a. Dawn of the Dead. Oh. So it gets a little confusing, because then there were more sequels made, but we'll call it Zombie, for all intents and purposes.
Now,
zombie film.
I noticed none of that. Now, in De Muertos, would be the dead. In Mexico, they had zombie. They had mummy zombies, too, I think. Didn't they at one time? But, I mean, there's no word for zombie in Italian? He just called it zombie?
Well, yeah, but it's missing an E. That'd be the Italian zombie is zombie, but I think it's just Z-O-M-B-I.
Ah, okay.
And if there's any Italian listeners, please feel free to correct me.
I am an Italian listener. No, I'm an American.
Does it sound right to you, Craig? If it sounds zombie. Good to you, it sounds good to me.
Well, I never thought of that, zombie. And yet, I don't think they would do in Spain or Spanish or Mexican, whatever, they would just call it, it would be Dawn of De la Muerte. That we say of the dead. Oh, but that says dead, not zombie. Yeah, okay, go on. I'm sorry. I'm circular thinking in my own head. Go on with the Italian guy. Okay, he comes up with Zombie 2, he's piggybacking off a zombie, which is really the Dawn of the Dead, which is the dead other guy movie related. Go ahead.
I know, it can get confusing, but no, Fulci's Zombie is a fantastic film. It's and it actually goes back to an island. So you got kind of a little bit of, like, here's some elements from the originators, but then the zombies are definitely, you know, I think, you know, Romero, his work was huge in Italy and definitely influenced a lot of people. But the great thing about Lucio Fulci, like any great director, is he could take elements put out by other people and kind of put it in his own filter. And the thing about his films is a lot of horror fans love him because some of the gore is, like, and Romero's films had gore, certainly, you know, especially like Dawn and Day, and you know, you had guys like, you know, Savini and Greg Nicotero, who are special effects giants, you know, working on there. But the Italians, of course, and that's why I love the Italians, will take it and be like, oh, okay, that's cute. We're going to put this up to 9, you know, and take it like up 10 notches.
Yeah.
But the gore aside, Fulci was really able to kind of have these extreme elements and yet retain an atmosphere. Because the thing I always love about Romero stuff is the pall of just doom. Like, we're all screwed.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe you get at Night and Dawn and certainly in Day. And I think Fulci retained that, especially The Beyond, which for my money, is his best zombie film.
Romero, let's not forget, is Italian. That's an Italian name.
Right.
George. Giorgio. His father's name is probably Giorgio, because George is not a... George is more Greek name.
Right.
George Romero. Maybe... I don't know many Italian... So he's Italian anyway, so they liked him over there.
They loved him.
Okay. And this guy picked up the body part, as the case may be, and just went with it? And what else did he do? What else did he do?
Well, his big zombie films are Zombie, The Beyond, City of the Living Dead, which was also released over here as Gates of Hell, which I technically saw at the drive-in, but I was only three and I fell asleep in the back seat. So I'm not proud of that, but hey, guys, I was like a borderline toddler. Don't hold it
against me. Once I was 19 and I fell asleep in the back seat, but that's a whole other story.
Oh,
go ahead. So he did what else? Where is it? What years are these now, this Italian guy? Was it Lucci?
Zombie? It's like late 70s, early 80s. I want to say Zombie was around like 78, 79. Beyond was more like 81, 82.
Okay.
The Beyond is really the big daddy as far as Fulci goes, in my money. It's got an amazing... Actually, all of this stuff has great soundtracks, usually by Fabio Frizzi.
Are you saying Fulci? V-O-L-C...
Fulci. F-U-L-C-I.
Oh, okay. Although it's like I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I was distracted there for a second. Fulci.
Fulci.
How can I not say that right? Okay, go ahead.
but his just this sense of atmosphere, but also the thing I love about a lot of the great Italian filmmakers in general, like him, Dario Argento, Mario Bava, even Ruggero Deodato, is like a lot of the great Italian films, there's just such a huge emphasis on the visual, on lighting, on color, on composition, and also on music. So it's like even some of the lesser films that, I mean, if you really examine them, they're not that great, but like they look breathtaking, they sound breathtaking. And that's actually something I wish more horror filmmakers nowadays would kind of emphasize, is I think people have lost that sense of like color and soundtrack, you know, because a really great soundtrack can really enhance a film so much. I mean... it's not a zombie film, really, but Argento's Suspiria, part of the reason Suspiria is such a scary film is the soundtrack. Mm. You know, it's just, you know, that's I love that. To me, that's always, merging those two worlds is an exciting, exciting thing.
And where is he today?
Fulci, Lucio is no longer with us. He passed away a number of years ago, sadly.
Talk about zombies and dead people eating stuff like that, and then you're so kind when you talk about, oh, they're no longer with us. They've passed. That's very good of you.
Well, thank you.
Well, how do you feel about more so lately? No, we said we probably wouldn't get into the...
No, we're going to get into the new one in a second. Let it go through the list, and then we want to see if we've... then we do want to mention a couple of things. But go ahead. Are we done with the list?
Let me see. Well, we haven't really gone into Raimi, like the Evil Dead trilogy, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Booyah!
I know, and it's funny because Raimi... If you're going by plot, there's really, you know, I mean, he's taken a lot of cues from guys like Romero. And even actually, you know, I don't know if it was an influence, but Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I would kind of say you could connect that. But Raimi's approach was what set him apart, you know, because the whole just frenetic camera work, some of the camera work in those films is just, it's still brilliant. It's balls out. And, and then especially once you get to Evil Dead 2, you know, there's like all this great black humor. There's a lot of Three Stooges reference, which I love. I love the Three Stooges.
Bruce
Campbell's such a star.
Stooges references in the Evil Dead movies?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Especially the second and third one.
How does that work? Because I don't remember. And I don't think I've seen them enough, closely enough. And give me a Three Stooges reference in one of the Evil Dead movies. How do they do that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, Ash, Bruce Campbell's character, gets his ass kicked pretty regularly in those films. And there's a lot of like, you know, doinks and, you know, like the great Stooges sound effects, him getting poked in the eyes. and in fact, I believe Raimi like has like, he uses terms like, oh, that's a fake Shemp.
Oh, okay.
Like, if that's, you know, the Shemps and, of course, you know, right, everybody's favorite stooge, right? But, along with Joe Besser. But, you know, but, like, yeah, the Evil Dead trilogy is phenomenal. It's just those three films are great. And,
what did they fall into? What category does that fall into?
That would be the supernatural kind of zombie.
Okay.
But, yeah, but I highly recommend all three of them. And it's a great kind of merging of horror, you know, and comedy, especially the last two. The first one's not so much funny, though. I still think it's great. But the only other zombie film that's really done that, I think, fully successfully pre-2000, because Zombieland actually is really funny, but I know we're kind of focusing more on the older films, was Return of the Living Dead, which is a huge favorite of mine.
Two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I've heard people consider Fido kind of like a comedy zombie film.
I've heard that's really good. No, that's like one, like, since it's kind of like a newer film, you know, I kind of trying to focus more on the older ones, but I've heard great things about Fido. I haven't seen it yet. I know it has, oh gosh, I can see his face. He's this great character actor who's in Trick or Treat, which is an awesome newer horror film. It doesn't really have zombies in it. Kind of does, actually.
I like Trick or Treat,
Trick or Treat's awesome.
The other question was, on the topic of the Evil Dead films, what do you think of the remake?
Again, I haven't seen it. I'm really burnt out on remakes right now, to be perfectly frank. No pun intended, you know, about it, because it's, and not to say there's not good ones out there. I mean, there's, you know, of course somebody can make a good remake, but I just feel like right now that trend is it just seems very cynical to me. I would much rather see people be influenced by these films and make their own.
I agree, and I feel like a lot of the remakes are crap. However, the Evil Dead one, in my opinion, was top-notch.
Well, see, I have a good friend of mine who is he's an absolute huge Evil Dead, you know, the original, the first three films fan, and he saw it, him and his wife went to see it in the theater, and he flipped out. He was just, in fact, she was telling me that she was almost, like, about to take him out of the theater, because he was just hooping and hollering and just enjoying it immensely.
Uh-oh.
So I've heard good things about it. Now, he loved it. So I'll probably, you know, there's always, like, films for me that I'll probably get to, and, you know, but I kind of have to wait till I guess I'm ready.
So. You're on Cthulhu Chronicle. I'm chronicling with the Heather Drain again every now and then. Heather... And I like this, Heather, because this is twice that you've been on, and then you're going to keep this at some kind of regularity, because for so long there we just missed you. You were just out there, you know, with all those problems. So Heather will be on again. Not that we're done now, but so I'm with Heather Drain here on what are we doing? Oh, I want to remind everyone. Let me do this quick juice talk spot here to tell everyone again: take a breath or get a glass of water. Okay, Heather, don't go away. I just want to do this little spot here, and then and we'll come right back, okay?
Okay, I'm not leaving.
Don't leave.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cthulhu Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make, like, what, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
So go on, get on over there, you people, and you can get archives of these shows, including this show and other Heather shows that Heather's on our show. And I also want to remind everyone that the new Four Culture, fourculture.com. And boy, Heather, you should write something for Four Culture. the online digital magazine. Have you seen it yet?
No, but I'm definitely putting it on my list. It sounds fantastic.
Forculture.com number 7 is out. I'm honored to be a regular in the magazine, which is a great digital magazine. It's the way of the future. It's a beautiful piece of, so you could read it on any browser you have. And number 7 is out. I'm in every one. And I'm in the new one. And so all you have to do is go to forculture.com. All 7 issues are there. Heather, I can get you in because I know how, you know, you should definitely be in that magazine. You should do something in that magazine. But we'll talk about that later. So I want to tell everyone, Juice Talk, where you can get and all those 3 shows and download them and do what you want with them. And our affiliates can get them there, too. And, of course, forculture.com, the new issue. Issue number 7 already is out. Dangerous Minds is where you can also, where you could read Heather at dangerousminds.net.
Yes. It's a great site if you love pop culture, political commentary, music, film. I mean, we kind of have something for everybody. And it's run by Richard Metzger, who, of course, is from Disinfo. And Richard's just done a lot of cool alternative culture stuff. And all the staff is great. So definitely, if you guys haven't checked it out, please do.
And MondoHeather.blogspot.com.
Absolutely.
It's your blog.
Can I throw in one little more plug?
Go ahead. More plugs from Heather.
Actually, I do have a piece coming out in the upcoming issue of Para Cinema. That's P-A-R-A Cinema. And you could just type that in a search engine and it should come up. And there's a new issue coming out. And I did a big spot. Has nothing to do with zombies, but where I talk about the great Stephen Sadean's films, Night Dreams and Dr. Caligari.
Mm.
Which kind of works. We were talking about Dustin Caligari, the original.
Doesn't have to work. What if, you know, Heather does all sorts of stuff. You don't just have to read about zombies.
No. Life was not built on zombies alone. So.
No. Life. Living death was not built on zombies alone.
Not at all.
When I brought up the Jesus thing, but ultimately, aren't vampires zombies?
Well, that's it. See, that's interesting, because when I was researching kind of and coming up with these quick kind of categories, you know, films like Rabid kind of made me question that. Some people consider I was gonna say I Am Legend, it's what it's based on, like Last Man on Earth, the Vincent Price film, The Omega Man. It's important to mention this because, of course, Richard Matheson just passed, the great writer Richard Matheson, wrote I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Some people consider like those films and that book to be zombies. I always considered it to be more vampire. But, you know, it's apples and oranges. It's always kind of the folly with categories after a while.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, you're going to have things that kind of bleed over and can't firmly, you know, be boxed in.
Because a vampire... Or Dracula is one person, even though he has, you know, all these women and people hanging around him that are vampires. Basically, he's the main one, and that's just one. You're not afraid of one zombie, and all you got to do is, in other words, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Dracula is one person, and what is he going to do to you? He's just going to make you into one of him too.
Well, you know, and it's funny because I think in some ways. You could argue both sides on that, because I think on one level, vampires could be considered scarier because they're smart.
Okay,
you know,
and
what's scarier than an intelligent monster, you know?
That's right.
They're a lot more savvy. It's they're a little more indestructible than zombies. By much, but a little bit.
They're quicker.
They're much quicker. Yeah. They can, and depending on which myth you're, you know, looking into, they can transform into mist. Or into a bat or a wolf, where zombies are just, I mean, they got body parts falling off.
Okay,
but on the other hand, it depends on what vampire you're talking about. I mean, if you're talking about, like, some glittery pretty boy with no fangs, then, yeah, I mean, a zombie's going to be way the hell scarier.
But anything living, everything living dead, anything living dead first would fall under zombie, and then you would have kinds of zombies, vampires or...
vampires are...
Ghosts? Aren't ghosts...
Yeah.
What are ghosts? They don't do any. That's weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other territory.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Funny you mentioned the vampire thing, because when I first plugged this interview on my Twitter, you know, I made a comment about, like, if you like, you know, great radio hosts, The Undead, and Gabby Redheads, and it hit me when I posted it. I'm like, well, Undead could be, you know, Someone could take that as vampires.
Wow. I don't know why I'm not following. Let's give you Twitter. Why aren't we following each other on Twitter?
I'm following you on Twitter.
You're on, and don't I follow you?
I thought you did.
I thought I did. And I don't remember seeing. I don't remember that. I gotta. I'm gonna write this down. Did I have? I don't know. I don't remember. You know, I don't go there a lot. I do it a lot from my phone, and I do it ahead of time, and then I disappear because I don't carry around the usual. I'm gonna make sure I got Heather on Twitter. Tell everybody what is your.
You can find me under Mondo Heather.
It's Mondo Heather, yeah.
But also, there's a link on my site too. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I do. I just don't. I don't know. I don't remember who gets what. Oh, how are we on the list now? With 10, 12 minutes left now. Where are we?
Well, I think we've kind of covered. I think we've covered all the key bases.
Good. Then let's just talk about what has happened. Because this, we decided to do this not really, it was really when it was convenient for us, but it just so happened that over the weekend, the World War Z came out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't follow a lot of the literature and stuff, so I wasn't acquainted with the book. I only looked at it after I read a long Vanity Fair article about the difficulty in making World War Z. So I didn't know much about the book or how it was changed or what have you. I don't think much of the movie resembles the book. But really, what has happened in terms of the danger in the original Night of the Living Dead was that all these things were coming up, and if they just kept coming up, the living would be dead, right? They were just going to take over if we didn't start shooting them and hitting them in the heads and stuff, right? Okay. So that, in a sense, was the fear, right? They were going to take over the world. Correct?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of interesting to me that zombies, you know, have had such a huge resurgence, and, you know, which, I mean, all horror... You know, types of horror films are cyclical. I mean, eventually, you know, they'll be, you know, vampires are kind of on the way now, but like Twilight and everything, they came back, and I'm sure eventually werewolves will come back too. They kind of have, but not quite. But with zombies, I don't know. I mean, one could maybe do some social culture examination and maybe be like, well, you know, people like to be afraid and have a boogeyman, and the boogeyman could be like bio warfare. It could be, you know, from all the war in Middle East. It could be, you know, what if something gets loose? You know, could be a nuclear reactor. It could be something getting out of a lab. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, I guess.
But even regarding the source of how the zombies come about, I guess the point I'm trying to make is the same evil exists from Night of the Living Dead. That same particular threat comes about in this World War Z thing, as far as I know, because it's, and they say zombie apocalypse, which is the catchphrase now. So zombies are, it's the same thing. They're trying to take over the world. They're threatening to do away with humanity, let's just say, right? Mankind. It's the same exact threat, but now we have CGI and everything, and we've just taken this to a level of, have we, and I'm asking you this, do you feel, even without seeing the movie, do you feel we've taken this now to a level of video game magnitude where it's just like, well, you know, that's it. This is it. Then we what? They take over the, you know what I'm saying? I saw a lot of clips from World War Z, and I read a lot about how they, you know, wanted to put it together. And have we really come to, is this the pinnacle? Has the pimple broke? And is this it?
I don't think it's ever it. I think the beauty kind of movie making and of cinema in general is that, you know, once things become kind of settled and it's like, okay, this is it, there's always going to be someone, and, you know, a maverick or just someone who's like, hey, I want to do something different, and comes in and kind of, you know, takes the Jenga tower and smashes it. And so I don't think it's ever truly it, which is good. You know, it's good for us because, you know, what would be the point of keeping on, you know, if everything got settled? You know, it's like someone's always going to come around and change it up.
Well, I'm assuming you didn't see WWZ yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. No. I just, I know I read, like I said, when I read about the, you know, the back story of it, and the, you know, the movie history of it, I would, you know, everybody was fascinated to see how it was going to do, and apparently it did very well, at least in the beginning. But the idea that and I don't know, were there more books, or was it just one book? World War Z, is that it?
I think there's just been one book. Jeremy might have a better idea on this than I do.
Yeah, well, he's upstairs making noise. I have no idea.
Are you
where
serious?
This
he just left.
he went out to get a breath of air or something, but I don't know. But when you take a major star, I mean, the zombie thing has gone from all these unknown people, and of course Bruce Campbell's, who are just known in a certain genre and stuff, all these people, when it comes up to like Brad Pitt's career now hangs in the balance of a zombie movie, as they've been saying, because this has got to be a hit for him based on a lot of things. So and here's this, and it's giant. I mean, have you seen some of these clips? This is all that you could never have done this before anyway, right?
Oh yeah, it's pretty. It looks pretty intense. I've heard good things about it. You know, it's getting from at least what I've seen, it's gotten getting pretty good reception from both, like, you know, critics, but also just from people who are, you know, film lovers. So
what hit me too was a critic who said, you know, he said regardless of how good, you know, it's all right and this, that, and the other thing, he said if I never see another zombie on screen, I'll be quite satisfied because this is it. I mean, it's just. It's,
oh, that's such bollocks.
Good for you. Good for you, girl. You go, girl. You tell
them. I hate if the critics write, you know, if I love something, man, I want to see more of it, you know? I'm just like, you know, keep that wheel spinning, baby.
Where did they go, though? Did the zombies build, did they build the rocket ships and now take over the universe? Where did they go? When you stop them, and you stop killing them in the world, and they don't take over humanity, where do they go? They just go away, and they come back, right? Return of World War Z2? Is that it, or Z? I don't know.
Well, one film, and it's on actually you mentioned Netflix. It's on my Netflix list, and I'm going to be seeing it very soon. I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it just yet. But there was a film, I believe it's Canadian, called Pontypool, which I think has Stephen McCaddy in it, who's a phenomenal character actor. And that came out in 06, but everything I've heard and read about that film is that it reinvents the zombie genre in a way that really no one else has. And I've heard this from very reliable people that I trust who have excellent taste. So yeah. But I think it just proves. I mean, that's the thing I love about art is that, you know, there's never a finite way to do something truly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what would you like to see in a zombie movie that you haven't, or you haven't seen, or you know, in other words, where do you feel there's room to do something either more artistic or more thematic or what?
For starters, and not to sound like a broken record, use some color. My goodness, I'm so tired of sepia and earth tones with horror. I think people need to watch a couple of The Italians and get some gels. Get some light up in there. Get some light, people. Well, come to the light, you know?
Yeah, you're right. They tint. Those are weird. What is that called? What are those weird color things called?
I don't know. I'm probably forgetting. Like, it all looks very almost, not quite monochromatic, but kind of close. It's just very, like, it's like khakis, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like the khaki school of lighting, and I get so tired of it. I'm like, embrace some color. It's a visual medium.
Yeah. Some of that real that like Fellini did when he went color. It was just the contrast of red to blue to yellow is beautiful. It's just like paintings, bright, beautiful paintings. And exactly. and I'm blue green colorblind since a while ago. I don't want to mention years, but and I still can sit down and watch, you know, even Amacord or Casanova or what have you. There's some great, big, beautiful. You're right, color. Okay, what else? What about thematically? Would you like to see anything different? Wait a second. You didn't talk about, and I don't know if it's a good movie. We don't have a lot of time to it. But what was that recent movie where the girl fell in love with a zombie, and it was, and he wanted to make him a zombie, wanted to make him better? What was that?
Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies? Did you know
that?
Thank
you. Yeah, I've never seen the trailer for that. Yeah, it's funny because that's not the first film that's done that. There was a film called My Boyfriend's Back in the 90s that kind of did that. And there was also, I Was a Teenage Zombie, which had a great theme song by the Fleshtones. So,
so that, you see, there again, we've just one idea rolled into another. Do you? So you don't think what a zombie love stories? What do you think is next then? What do you think they'll do?
I think, you know, instead of kind of, for me, it's like what makes something unique a lot of times isn't necessarily even like the obvious elements. It's the subtle, you know, it's what you use to build atmosphere. And that's, I think that's why I'm a lighting geek. Music, tone. I think tone, I mean, cause that's the thing, like a lot of people, I always kind of hate it when people focus on Fulci and just focus on the gore, because the beauty, the real beauty and crux of his works is the tone, is the atmosphere. And that's a lot harder to do. Anybody can have an exploding head and brain eating in a film, but show me someone who can do that beautifully, you know, and do it in a way that really, has a lot of layer to it, like Lucio Fulci. And, you know, I'm sold.
And today, do you think that, because you're talking about people who were doing it with a film, there was no advanced technology and CGI and stuff, do you think that has ruined the chance of the kind of stuff you're talking about being done anymore?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think, you know, there people have done some great stuff with CGI. I'm not as anti-CGI as I used to be. I still think there are a lot of people that abuse it and don't use it properly. And when CGI is not done properly, you're right, it looks like a freaking video game. And video games are great if you want a video game, but, if you know, to me, if you want to watch a movie, you want to watch a movie mm-hmm. and not a video game. I think all of Peter Jackson's stuff, which I know isn't zombie-related, but all of his CGI stuff is just perfect. It's gorgeous. So there's a way to do it with that. I mean, also, I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer. Never underestimate the power of, you know, of spirit gum and latex and fake blood.
Yeah, a lot of this, and there are always going to be advances in, how many advances in makeup could there be, considering how they can, you know, what they can do now without using it?
I think people, you know, I think everything's kind of cyclical, you know, okay. I mean, CGI has been kind of the bright, shiny toy, in a way, but I think it's always going to be there, and there's some great CGI, but I think there's room for everything. I think there's still a lot of people that love the art of special effects, of physical, you know, being able to get your hands dirty and transform someone in front of your eyes, you know, physically. So I think that's always going to be there. You know, there's a reason why guys like, you know, Tom Savini still have a huge fan base. So,
well, they're always going to be there. And Heather's always going to be with us exclusively here once in a while. We'll get you again. And we'll, you think of some more topics. And we'll talk about some more things. We'll start breaking these into categories. How's that?
Well, I like it.
Yeah. MondoHeather.blogspot.com and Dangerous Minds and Para...
Paracinema.
P-A-R-A.
Yeah, P-A-R-A Cinema. That's all one word. And it's a great print magazine. And if you love cult films, the cover story is actually about like action films and has a beautiful picture of Charles Bronson. So the magazine's got something for everybody. Like action films, you like surrealistic cult films, you know, we got it.
Okay, get on over there. And just, what's that?
We should do an episode all about cult films.
We'll do another cult film. We'll do plenty of things because we can do a lot of stuff with Heather. She's in the know. She's got it going. Dolph, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And we will, we'll see you again there shortly, okay? Be well, and we'll be in touch other than this, okay?
You too. Thank you, Frank and Jeremy. You guys have a great night.
Good night, babe. Good night. Listen to that laugh. There goes Heather Drain. What excellent. Yeah, excellent. But who's that?
That's some control over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And he's living. He's still living to the chagrin of many. Yes, to the chagrin. I got a chance to use the word to the chagrin of many. He's still. I'm still here. Incredible shrinking man. Richard Matheson. Jeremy will be back. If you're in town, come see Jeremy, and I'll be hanging around there at the Hubbub Festival. Jeremy, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, as always.
Jeremy will be back next time he invites himself over. And we'll see. Where was my voice? There's my voice. We'll see you all again shortly next week. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, and we'll tell you what's happening on my Facebook page so that you know what's happening. JuicedTalk.com. Go get this show. It'll be there shortly, and we're all over the place. We'll be with you. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Weil, wherever you are. I guess that's it. We'll be seeing you next time, because we have nothing more to say.